May the Lord help us to commence this service with hymn 967. Friends, I should tell you that Mr. Robert Field is ill and unable to come today. Hymn 967. God of my life, to thee I call. Afflicted at thy feet I fall. When the great water floods prevail, leave not my trembling heart to fail. Hymn 967.
Thank you.
Our reading from God's holy word is Psalm 55. Psalm 55. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about it, upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me, then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old. Selah. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. Amen. May the Lord bless his holy word to us and help Benji to pray.
Upon us once more. Do come and be our helper even this day. For, O Lord, we come feeling our utter dependence upon thee. Oh, that thou would come and indite true and living prayer in our hearts, a right desire to seek thee as we come into thy house once more. Lord, thou hast provided this great privilege for us. And Lord, thy presence has been known here in times past. We do pray for a thankful heart for these things. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt come again this day. Oh, that we might know thy smile upon us as we desire to truly worship thee. In spirit and in truth. O Lord, we come as poor, wretched, undone sinners. O, we would confess our sins before thee. Lord, and seek that true humility of heart, that contrite spirit, O, to bow before thee. O Lord, deserving thy judgments, but O Lord, have mercy upon us. Oh, remember us for good. As we come unto thee, looking for that forgiveness of our sins, that thou wilt pardon our iniquities. Oh, Lord, that thou wilt make us clean. Lord, it seems an impossibility with us. But, oh, nothing is impossible with thee. Remember us each here gathered then this morning. O Lord, and apply thy word with power in the hearts of each one. O Lord, thou knowest how each one has come, how they are found. All is open and bare unto thee. O Lord, we pray then that thou wilt answer the cries of those that have looked up unto thee, that truly trust in thee, that seek thee for a word in season, a help by the way. Lord, remember each one then, and grant that there might be that suitable word this day applied to their hearts. And Lord, we do pray, if there are those that are found in thy house, simply because it's another Sunday morning, pure tradition, form. Lord, thou knowest each one. We pray then that thou wilt apply thy word in their hearts. O Lord, that thou wilt give them that desire to know thee, that there is but one thing needful. Lord, that we might be enabled to leave all the things of time and around us. For, O Lord, these things will soon all be gone. Oh, that we might have something left. Oh, that we might be found in thee, resting in thy righteousness, looking unto that work which thou didst perform, that blood which thou hast shed. Lord, 'tis our only hope. Oh, remember us each, Lord. Prepare us for eternity. It fast hastens on. We know not how long it will be with any one of us. And Lord, thou knowest, some as it were of us have been very close. Lord, may we truly consider these things and remember them. But Lord, they won't do us any good. Except thou dost come. Thou dost apply thy word. Thou dost truly sanctify these things and make them work in our hearts. O Lord, enable us to rightly consider it and to look to thee. Have mercy on us, Lord. O remember us. O Lord, thou knowest then each case found here this day. We do pray that thou wilt grant those words of direction where it can be thy will, that thou wilt open doors, Lord, or shut doors. Thou canst do both. O Lord, make a way for each one. Guide each in that right way, that way that thou hast made. And Lord, even in the things of time, keep us, preserve us, Lord. How many things there are out there in the world to draw us aside. O Lord, to take us into Bypath Meadow, of which we heard only recently. O Lord, we need thee to keep us, for oh, how it looks easier over the stile. O Lord, bring us back. Keep us close unto thee. For, O Lord, it needs thy power to do these things. Go before then each one, O Lord, and cause thy blessing to come down upon us. Help us to open our mouths wide, for, Lord, thou hast said, I will fill it. Lord, grant us faith. Put that true and living faith in our hearts to believe in thee, that thou art all-powerful, thou art almighty. O Lord, we have a mighty foe, an enemy, but Lord, thou art above even that. Our Lord, enable us to truly trust in thee. Lord, to trust in thee with the cloud between. When we cannot see thee, but Lord, thou art still there. Oh, may we believe it. May we truly then have faith in our hearts to believe thee, our Lord, and to make our request truly known unto thee, that thou wilt bring it to pass. And thou knowest the it with each one. Lord, enable them as we have even heard already this day, Lord, to cast their burden upon the Lord. For thou art able, thou art willing. Lord, we look to thee then to work for each one, to keep them in that right way, to bring them unto thee, that we each might be ready and prepared when time shall be no more. Have mercy on us each, Lord, for oh, we need it. And Lord, we would now remember thy servant, whom we expected this day. Thou knowest where he is. Thou knowest the reason for these things. O Lord, enable us then to have true submission to thy will, to thy way. Lord, we need it in all things, as well as this. Do then remember thy servant where he is. We do pray that thou wilt grant those healing mercies. Lord, that thou wilt raise him up once more and bring him even here, if it can be thy will, in days to come. But Lord, remember us now here without thy servant. We do pray that thou wilt bless that which we sing, that which we read, Lord, and that which was preached in days past. Lord, bring it alive once more. Put life in it. Make the word effectual in the hearts of one and another. Do then help us through the day, and Lord, that there might be that rejoicing at the close of the day, that there will have been that which we have received from thy hand, that we might have that true, real joy in the Lord. Oh Lord, these are great things we ask, beyond our strength or even hope at times. But Lord, thou canst do it. Oh, do work then this day and enable us to worship thee in spirit and in truth. We do pray then that thou remember all thy servants, Lord, wherever they may be labouring this day. And we specially ask that thou wilt remember them as thou dost bring them here week by week. Lord, that thou wilt give them that message. But oh, that thou wilt make that message powerful, that it might truly be a thus saith the Lord, that we might be enabled to look beyond the man, to thee and to thee only. O Lord, to the giver of all good things. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt remember us as a denomination. O Lord, that thou wilt make thy word powerful in the hearts of many, that thou wilt keep them in the right way, looking unto Jesus. And Lord, that thou wilt raise up servants to labour in thy vineyard. O Lord, thou hast been merciful to us recently of raising up one and another. But oh, we do pray that thou wilt go on and raise up others. O Lord, for thy word doth say, the harvest truly is great. Lord, we do pray then that thou wilt truly raise up others. Remember then each one and go before us. Lord, and we do pray that thou wilt remember the young ones. As Lord, as we understand, we are greatly favoured here with having so many young ones gather in thy house. Lord, do enable us to truly praise thy name for this. Grant us that thankful heart, and we pray that thou wilt work in their hearts, that thou wilt raise them up, Lord, that they might come to that right knowledge of thee, that they might truly possess thy fear. Lord, before thee, remember then each one. Oh, that there might be those to continue when we have gone. Lord, do have mercy on us then. Remember them in the Sunday school. Oh, do enable that seed to be sown, Lord, that will bring forth fruit in days to come. Lord, have mercy on us. And Lord, we would now remember our country. We do desire to bring this before thee. But Lord, we know not what to say or how to speak. O Lord, as we see wickedness runs down our streets, and Lord, we do pray, oh, that thou wilt appear, that thou wilt raise up men in high places that fear thy name, that will look to thee, that will desire to know thy way and thy will. Lord, that thou might observe thy commands and thy commandments. O Lord, there are so many, but Lord, that one which seems before us continuously, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Lord, we know we fail, but oh, we would desire to come before thee. Lord, do then cause many to think on these things and to truly consider, to think on thy word and what thou hast said. Lord, have mercy then upon this land and remember us for good. Lord, elections are due. We pray that thou wilt guide us each in what to do. And Lord, that thou wilt raise up men with thy fear in their hearts. Lord, thou canst do it. Do now remember us and remember our brother. Go before him, Lord, as he reads this day. And Lord, make the word suitable to each one. Have mercy now upon us each. Forgive us each all our sins and the poverty of our prayers, Lord. We ask these things for thy great name's sake. Amen.
Hymn 277. Now I see, whate'er betide, all is well if Christ be mine. He has promised to provide. May he teach me to resign. Hymn 277.
Thank you.
and read to you a sermon preached by Mr. John Kershaw, and you will find the words of the text in the psalm that we read, Psalm 55, verse 22. Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. In the first place, let us notice the exhortation, cast thy burden upon the Lord. This is an exhortation that will not suit everyone. For instance, if we look for a moment at the careless, unthinking world who are rolling sin and iniquity under their tongue like a sweet morsel, who are lying down in sin and filth and wallowing therein like the sow, these are not burdened. Oh no. Gallio-like, they neither care for their sin, their never-dying souls, nor the awful realities of an opening eternity. We look at these with grief and pity, but we cannot say to them, "Stand by, I am holier than thou." Many of us can look back and say with humility, solemnity, and thankfulness to God, "And such were some of us." And we are obliged to tell the Lord, "Such we should have remained, living and dying, and have lifted up our eyes in hell, had it not been for the riches of God's grace in stopping us in our mad career of sin and folly." Is not this a brand plucked from the fire? Is a question that may be well be asked concerning each of us who know the Lord. My friends, a consideration of these things will humble us, solemnize our minds, and create in us under the blessed influences of the Holy Spirit thankfulness to God. But again, there are others whom the exhortation of our text will not fit. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. Who are they? Those who have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. They come and go to the means of grace. They are members of Christian societies, living in every point of view what is called a pious life, and are pleased and delighted with themselves. Thus they wrap it up, secure with a name to live while dead, having the mere profession, without the life and power of God in the soul. Such may be considered in the devil's cradle, in which immortal souls are lulled in the sleep of perdition, and if grace prevent not, will sink them to the regions of the damned. For it is not everyone that saith, "Lord, Lord," shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But again, there are others whom the exhortation of our text does not fit. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. Who are they? Such as have got a sound creed, the doctrines of grace in the head, who, like Balaam, can distinguish truth from error, but they have never had the fallow ground of their hearts ploughed up. They have never been brought with godly sorrow, weeping, and supplication to the feet of Jesus. Whatever a man knows of the letter of truth in a way of profession, if he is never brought by the power of divine grace to the footstool of mercy as a poor, guilty, broken-hearted sinner, he is but a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Such a profession as this will not avail him anything in the great and solemn day of God. But leaving the negative side of the question, let us come more closely to our text. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. When it pleases God, in the riches of his grace, to convince a poor soul, dead in trespasses and sins, of his lost and ruined state by nature, he quickens and makes him alive. God's religion and the soul of the poor sinner go together. When the Lord first begins the work of grace, he in general lays some particular outward sin on the conscience of the poor sinner of which he has been most guilty. As for instance, Saul of Tarsus, in his mad persecution of the church and people of God, and Zacchaeus, the publican, of his unjust and oppressive dealing. But when God sends an arrow of conviction into the soul, he not only discovers to him his present sins, but he reveals to his astonished view past sins. And as Job expresses it, makes him to possess the sins and iniquities of his youth. Present and past sins rise up to view. They stare the poor sinner in his face and appear in their scarlet and crimson hue, a thick black cloud. And in the midst of their thickness and blackness, an angry God is felt in a broken law. The poor sinner is now bowed down greatly. He feels the burden of sin in his conscience, for the Lord has laid it with a solemn weight upon his heart, and it presses him down to the dust of death. He is oppressed with it and cries out with David, "Mine iniquities are gone over mine head. As an heavy burden, they are too heavy for me." A wounded spirit and an angry God in a broken law will bring down the loftiest looks, abase the proudest and haughtiest heart, and bring the poor sinner to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ with the cry of the publican, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Beloved, do you know anything of a burdened conscience and a wounded spirit? Have you ever had the feelings of the poet when he said, "Here on my heart the burden lies, and past offences pain my eyes"? My friends, the burden of sin felt on the conscience of a poor sinner makes him to hang down his head like a bulrush. It makes him weary, heavy laden, oppressed and sorrowful. His former companions and relations cannot tell what is the matter with him or what to do with him. Some will say he is insane, others that he is becoming melancholy, and a third will advise him to be taken into good company and amusements to divert and cheer him. Thus many things are done in order to heal his wounded spirit, but it is all to no avail. He will never get ease to his sorrowful soul till he is able to obey the exhortation, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee." He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. Beloved, as sure as the poor soul is brought into these circumstances, so sure will the Lord uphold, support, and sustain him. And neither men nor devils will be able to keep him from coming to the throne of grace. He will get into some private and retired corner where he may pour out his soul to God in earnest cries and supplications. Like Isaac, he will take his walk at eventide and wander solitarily in his gloom and sadness, moaning, crying, and anxiously seeking for a revelation of pardoning mercy to his wounded spirit. Strangers are ignorant of what is going on in his soul, but the Lord is making him acquainted with the hidden evils of his heart. He is not merely unfolding to his view the guilt of outward sin, but he is discovering to him the hidden evils that dwell and lurk within, and leading him into the imagery in the hidden chambers of his soul. This makes him to cry out with David, "My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day, for my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart." The poor soul, when brought here, is full of doubts and fears, and nearly overwhelmed with sighs and cries before the Lord, panting for deliverance. Oh, my friends, if there are no cries, no pantings, no longings to the Lord, there is great reason to fear such a person has never had any true and spiritual religion. But the poor, bowed down, burdened sinner groans and cries to the Lord for help. And he says, "Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee." And again, "Let the sighing of the prisoner come before thee." Such are not forgotten before the Lord. They are vessels of mercy, afore prepared unto glory, and redeemed from among men by the blood of the covenant. The blessed Spirit takes possession of the heart of this poor soul and brings him unto Jesus and his finished salvation. The Lord looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death. He will regard the prayer of the destitute, and will not despise their cry. The Lord says to the poor soul who is bowed down with sin outwardly and sin inwardly, who is troubled with it in the house of God, and is a burden and a plague to himself, who knows not what to do nor whither to flee, and who finds refuge to fail him on every hand, the Lord says to him, come, poor burdened soul, bring your hard heart, your vain thoughts to me. Keep not anything back, but confess thy sins at the footstool of my grace. Tell me all thy griefs and sorrows arising from the workings within of thy carnal and wicked heart. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain thee. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. Now I believe the exhortation to be good. It is blessed and precious, my friends. But something more is wanted in Christian experience. The poor soul, bowed down with trials, may hear these things set forth, and it may encourage him under his burdens, and he may go again and again and try to cast his burden upon the Lord, but he cannot. He would cast it upon and leave it with the Lord if he could, but he cannot. What is wanted then to enable him to do so? The influence of the Blessed Spirit. When the Lord enables the poor sinner to come with a soft and feeling heart, with godly sorrow for sin, and with tears of contrition trickling down his cheeks to the feet of Jesus, to look by precious faith to him, and to see that Jehovah the Father, against whom he has sinned, has imputed his sins to the dear Redeemer and cast them into the depths of the sea, this will sustain and support his burdened and sorrowful soul. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Brethren, when this is seen by faith and felt in the soul of the poor burdened sinner, how it helps and sustains his spirit. He that knew no sin, a precious Christ, was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. As the believing soul is led by the Spirit to the dear Redeemer to see sin imputed to him, as he is led to the cross of Christ, and beholds Jesus putting away his sins by the sacrifice of himself, making an end of transgression, finishing sin, and bringing in everlasting righteousness, these immortal blessings are received by faith in his soul. The precious atoning blood of the Lamb is felt in his conscience, and he is sustained and supported. But something yet more is experienced. What more then does he feel? The burden is removed. The burden is removed. When John Bunyan's pilgrim was brought to the foot of the cross, and by faith beheld the dear Redeemer bearing his sins in his own body on the tree, wounded for his iniquities, and made a curse for him. While he looked upon the wondrous sight, joy and peace flowed into his conscience like a river. While he was gazing upon the cross, he lost his burden. He lost his burden. His heart melted with love, and tears of thanksgiving flowed down his cheeks. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. But nothing can support or sustain a precious soul which I have been describing but a precious Christ, the one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, the rock of our salvation. The believer's soul is sustained and supported by the person of Emmanuel, the incarnate God. And when he finds he has this prop to rest upon, it feels so firm and precious to him that he sings with a glad heart, "How can I sink with such a prop that bears the world and all things up?" This is being sustained, my friends, when the poor sinner is led to see that his sins and iniquities are done away, that when they are sought for, they shall not be found, that the curse due to sin fell upon a precious Christ, that he finished the work which the Father gave him to do, and that his precious salvation is known, and that his precious salvation is made known to the conscience by the power of the Holy Ghost, it sustains and supports his mind. And the poor soul, bowed down with fear, bursts forth and sings, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust, not in my own heart, nor lean to my own understanding. I will trust and not be afraid that my sins will bring me under the curse of the law. For the Lord Jehovah is my song. He also is become my salvation." These are the things that sustain and support the child of God. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. Beloved, will anything short of a precious Christ, the incarnate God, his finished and complete salvation, which is all of grace, support our souls and bear our spirits up? If it will, your heart is not right with God. The language of Paul, which I am going to cite, enters into the soul of the poor sinner upon this important point. He says, "I know whom I have believed or trusted, and am persuaded that he, a precious Christ, is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." As if the apostle had said, "I have been enabled through the gracious teachings of the Blessed Spirit to cast myself with all I am at my dear Redeemer's feet and leave my case and soul in his precious hands. I have a blessed feeling wrought in my heart by the dear Comforter that a precious Jesus will bear me up and land me safe in immortal glory. Here is my comfort and consolation. This sustains and supports my soul. And there is no comfort and consolation for a burdened soul anywhere else. But, says some poor child of God, if I only knew I had an interest in a precious Christ, and that he was carrying on my cause in the high court of heaven, I should feel my mind supported and sustained amid my burdens. Well, now the Lord says, and if he should enable you to obtain a faith's view of it, it will do your soul good, as it has done mine many a time. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. Let me ask you, poor soul, have you been taught your lost, ruined, and undone state as a sinner before God? Do you feel that you have no worth or worthiness of your own? Do you believe that Christ is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him? The Lord enable you to look to a precious Jesus, to his atoning blood and his justifying righteousness for life and salvation. There is no righteousness but the righteousness of Emmanuel, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that will do for the burdened soul. The Lord enable you to commit your cause into his blessed hands. You can never die while Jesus lives. And he says, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The Lord enable us to cast our burden upon him. He will sustain us. He will never forsake us. They that trust in the Lord shall never be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. Oh no, my friends, the Lord will take care of those who trust in his grace and hope in his mercy, and those who fear and love him now shall in a little while dwell in his immediate presence, where there is fullness of joy, and at his right hand, where there are pleasures for evermore. Those who in the Lord confide and shelter in his wounded side shall see the danger overpast, outride each storm, and live at last. Now the dear children of God have many burdens and troubles to endure all the way through the wilderness. Nearly the whole of their 80 years, or perhaps 80 years, are consumed more or less in trouble and sorrow. I have known some good men greatly burdened with providential difficulties in trade. They have not known how to pay their bills or to take them up when due, and this has been a sore burden and trial to their souls. Others who fear the Lord have bad and undutiful children who give them a great deal of trouble, causing them many sighs, groans, and tears. Again, the Lord's family often experience trouble in the church of God, Many crooked things arise among brethren, and sometimes angry words are used, which is a source of sorrow to the Lord's dear children, and which cause them frequently to sigh and cry to the Lord. But, my friends, whatever be the burden, sorrow, or trouble that oppresses or sinks you, there is no other remedy for it than this blessed exhortation and promise. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. We cannot extricate ourselves from our burdens and sorrows by taking anxious thought. Oh no, I hear the Lord saying to his dear children in all their difficulties and trials. It is a sweet voice. May the Lord speak the word with power to the heart of some poor troubled child, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Oh my friend, did he not care for the prophet Elijah in the wilderness? Did he not send the ravens to feed him? Did he not care for the poor woman of Sarepta in the time of famine? The devil and unbelief said she would be sure to be starved, but the Lord sent the prophet to sustain her and kept her alive. The Lord of hosts still lives. Our Heavenly Father knoweth our wants and necessities. The gold and the silver are his, and the cattle upon a thousand hills, and he has promised to satisfy all our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Some persons are ashamed that it should ever be known they were once poor, or to acknowledge the hole of the pit from whence they have been hewn. But I recollect one particular time in my own case when I was young. I had been some time out of work. The family were without provision, and I had no money to procure any. I could not see my way. Darkness and clouds rested on my path. The devil and unbelief began to work and powerfully to assail me. But the Lord sustained my mind and sweetly dropped into my soul this precious portion from the prophet Habakkuk. I shall never forget the time. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines. The labour of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord enabled me to cast myself and family into the faithful care and kindness of a God of providence and grace, and to leave myself in his blessed hands. Oh, that we may be enabled to leave ourselves more with him, with all our troubles and sorrows, who maketh darkness light, crooked things straight, and rough places plain. When we are enabled to do so by the blessed Spirit, it brings us where the Apostle Paul was when he said, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. The Lord enable you, poor tried soul, to leave yourself, your cares and your burdens at his blessed footstool. Thy God reigns as a God of providence as well as a God of grace, and he will make all thy difficulties and trials work together for thy good and the honour of his great name. As the dear child of God is led into these immortal truths, he is enabled to cast out the anchor of hope and to sing, since all that I meet shall work for my good. The bitter is sweet, the medicine is food. Though painful at present, 'twill cease before long, and then, oh, how pleasant the conqueror's song. This is God's religion, my friends, and it supports the minds of his tried family and enables them to confide in him while surrounded with difficulties and sorrows. I knew a good woman, a mother in Israel, who lived to the honour of God and the glory of his name. She was well to do in the world, but all God's people must have a crook in the lot. She had a bad son who had caused her much sorrow of heart. He had run away and enlisted for a soldier 5 or 6 times. But one day when I called upon her, she said to me, "I tell thee what, friend Kershaw, I have taken Richard to the Lord, but I cannot keep him there. I bring him back again." This is our misery, my friends. We take our burdens to the Lord, but are unable to leave them with him. But someone will say, have we not the promise in the Bible that the Lord will sustain us? Ought we not to take him at his word? I love my Bible, and the promise too. But my friends, I find I have to wait for the fulfillment of the promise to my soul. It is my mercy that God's promise takes hold of me, and that it is not left to my taking hold of the promise. Sometimes when we go to the throne of grace burdened, we see the promise in the Bible fits our case, but relief is not experienced. There is something more wanted. What is wanted? To have the precious promise dropped with power from heaven in the conscience. When the promise comes from the Lord, the soul is refreshed, so that it can sing with the poet, "Oh, I have seen the day when with a single word, God helping me to say, my trust is in the Lord. My soul has quelled 1,000 foes, fearless of all that could oppose." Thus, when the promise is brought home by the blessed remembrancer to the heart, it raises up the dear child of God. When he says, "Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And I will be with thee in 6 troubles. Yea, in 7 there shall no evil befall thee." It encourages and refreshes the poor soul. If he is called to pass through the fires of persecution or the waters of affliction, the Lord says, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Such a precious soul as this will not have to wait upon the Lord in vain, but he will arise for his help and bring him to say to the praise and glory of his name, this God is my God for ever and ever. He will be my guide even unto death. Oh, my friends, I feel a solemn pleasure in labouring as God's instrument to encourage you to cast all your burdens, trials and difficulties into his blessed hands. There is no peace or rest for the heaven-born soul anywhere else. Our blessed Lord has left us this legacy, and we prove its truth continually. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but in me ye shall have peace. The Lord enable us to trust in him at all times. He is a refuge and strength for his people in every time of trouble. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain thee. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £620, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Joseph Ruth is expected to preach on Friday evening, and Mr. Warren next Lord's Day. Hymn 947. Great God, to thee I'll make my griefs and sorrows known, and with a humble hope approach thy awful throne. Though by my sins deserving hell, I'll not despair, for who can tell? 947.
think of that hymn with my burden I'll begin. Lord, remember my loads. Oh, do help each one to take those burdens to the Lord. Us, we heard of that one who said that she took her burden and brought it back again. Oh, do help us to cast it upon her. Oh Lord, do be with us now as we pray. Oh, we pray that out. Watch over us. Do be with the children this afternoon in the service. Lord, may there be something there for them. Help those who change. Be with them on the morrow as they go back to school. Watch over them, we pray. Help the teachers. Oh, do be with each one. Remember those away from us today. Lord, thou knowest where each one of us. Be with them where they gather. Oh, do watch over each one. And remember those on earth. Lord, those who walk in the path of the flesh. Oh, do be draw near to the help of God. Lord, remember each one. Oh, do be with my servant who was expected. Lord, do be with him this time. Oh, do grant, Lord, that restoring mercies, if it can be like Lord, do grant him meditation this time. Oh, do gather us again this evening. Lord, do guide our deacon as to what to read. May it prove to be thy offering. Help each one in. Lord, do bless us as we forgive our enemies. As we ask it for Jesus Christ. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit.